to another Dev Workshop podcast, and this is podcast number 8. We're slowly growing, and we're sitting here tonight with, on my right, we got Travis.
Hello.
We got Taha to his right.
Hey, guys.
And we got Todd to his right.
Hello.
And actually, I'm on Todd's right. So we're in a big circle.
Todd.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Two Todds here. So welcome. Hopefully you guys have been listening to the other podcast and listen to us ramble on and on. First things first, we want to get our sponsors out of the way. So the first one is The Basement. The Basement is a digital design studio that builds tailored user experiences across desktop, mobile, and TV. Headquartered in Indianapolis, The Basement delivers multi-channel digital projects for some of the world's top agencies and brands. So, Basement, thanks a lot. We appreciate everything you've done for us. And if you need apps, websites, what else they do, Taha?
They do a bunch of, like, motion graphics, 3D also.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. So, if you need anything like that, hey, they might even do an animated book for you.
Cool. Yeah, we're working on an interactive book.
Yeah. So if you need one of those, call The Basement to Design in Motion. They're based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. So we appreciate that. Also, first thing, another business, Dev Workshop Conference next September. Just want to throw that out there. Make sure we are taking submissions for papers. We've got a call out there. So if you have a topic, an interesting topic you want to speak on, if you want to do a workshop, so come here and, you know, put a paper in. Also, we have, if you want to sponsor us, got a call out for sponsors as well. So come and we have actually the price listings on there. So check it out. Go to our, and that's actually at dev or at conf.devworkshop.org. C-O-N-F. So everybody's kind of quiet tonight. You guys are all just over here looking at me, I guess.
No, I'm just watching Breaking Bad, so.
You're kind of depressed?
I just want to be a millionaire like him.
Yeah, well, we could start. You want to just make meth?
We can dump this.
Yeah. You know what? We'll be back in about a year or maybe two if we get caught. Yeah, that's a great show, though, isn't it?
Cool. No, I'm not just not feeling well. I took off from work today, so. Yep, the weather changing, it's snowing, yet it's sunny. Sometimes just like weather's so fluctuating, it's just not good. So
yeah.
It's hitting me on my health.
Yeah, everybody's down in the dumps, man. Yeah, and look at everybody not talking or nothing. And Scott has to be out for work. So anyway, Scott, sorry you couldn't be here. We actually have a pizza sitting here waiting with your name on it. It was awesome. Good coffee.
Free.
Free. Yeah, everything was free. It was paid for. Yeah, he'll love that. So let's talk. We had a conversation right before we started the podcast. We started getting into talking about editors, right? So let's talk about that a little bit, about different ones, you know, ones you've used, ones you like. We've had a little bit of a similar conversation about this when we first started our podcast, but it was just kind of brief. You know, it was just kind of, hey, here's some out there that we know that we like. You know, me and Travis teach a lot. So one of the biggest ones that students use a lot is Adobe because that's a big name, right? So they see it out there. Yeah, Dreamweaver, mm-hmm. right? But let's talk about some other ones besides Dreamweaver, because I got to tell you, even though I could probably argue with anybody that if just using Dreamweaver as an editor only,
is decent.
You just lost all of our ratings.
I did. I'm sorry. Let's bring it back. Yeah. But it is decent. I mean, it has code completion to it. It actually has, syntax kinda, highlighting.
Whenever I load it up, I'm mildly impressed with everything it does.
Yeah. If you just close all the other windows around it and just use it as an editor, it does a lot of stuff for you.
Yeah. But that's the talk. I mean, in school, Adobe, I mean, you can use their products and you can use Dreamweaver and all that. But in the industry, in professional industry, no one likes
it. No
Adobe
one likes
has probably a bad name in the web, I think.
I guess it depends on, does it get in your way? Because at some point, you hit a point where you don't really need the little GUI tools and whatnot. And at that point, does it inhibit you?
Yeah.
I think it was really kind of made for a beginner. Right. You know, or a beginner to a novice, I would say, in my own opinion, because it doesn't have a lot of stuff that other tools have. And as you get, as you hit the industry, we need those other tools, right? So, but I mean, as just an editor, yeah, I agree with you, Taha. In the industry, they would laugh at you if you pulled that up and said, hey, I'm going to start using Dreamweaver, right? It just doesn't work. But, you know.
The guy at Hearth that held on to it for a long time, and everybody laughed at him. He's like, hey, I know it. It works well for me.
Yeah. It's an, as an editor, I mean, I literally, as an editor, you can do it. I do a lot of my tutorials using it, and but that's all I use it for, right? So another big favorite one of ours, so let's throw Dreamweaver to the side because it's not.
Can I go back to the original one?
To the original.
I get to make this my claim to fame is I taught myself to code in Notepad. Not Notepad Plus.
You can't. You can go back to the original of getting out.
There you go.
There's the door right there.
Notepad.
Yeah.
No syntax highlighting whatsoever. In fact, my original class at Purdue, we weren't allowed to use Dreamweaver until our second project.
I was like that too. I started in Notepad.
It's nasty. Oh. It's really nasty when you don't have code highlighting.
Yeah, especially back then because you had to write all that stuff in the document type. Mm-hmm, you had to write all that stupid.
Yeah, you can mess it up real easy.
Yeah, I love HTML5, right?
Document HTML, type.
So and the great thing is, I mean, Dreamweaver is cool. I just don't like the name Dreamweaver.
Oh, I think it's cool.
I like it because of the song. Logo.
For the song?
Yeah.
Dreamweaver. Did Adobe make it?
No, not the song. Yeah.
Dang it. Yeah, it was Macromedia who made that, and then Adobe just bought that and kept the same name also.
Yeah. Adobe had their own for a while.
Hmm?
Adobe had their own before.
Like Adobe Front Page?
No, it was, I can't remember what it was called, but they had their own. I actually used it for a little bit just to try it out. But then when they bought Macromedia, they, you know, I think they took a few things of theirs and put it into Dreamweaver and then kept the Dreamweaver.
Well, Adobe have, I mean, they're working on Bracket, which is in beta version, which is more nicer, professional, cleaner, but
I think that's Edge, isn't it?
No, Edge is like the full animation thing. It's called Bracket.
Yeah, Bracket. Sure.
Yeah, no, I know Brackets is the open source, but I think that's mixed in with one of their other
an open source version of Edge
of one of their Creative Cloud tools.
You know, GitHub has something pretty similar that they're working on now too.
Yeah, they released it.
Did they?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Man, why don't we have this stuff written down somewhere? I can't remember everything. Todd, what is it called?
What are you talking about?
The new editor that GitHub just released.
Hmm.
Was it Codeo?
I don't think so.
Adam?
No.
Adam.
Yeah. Adam.
It's Adam. The Adam editor.
Google knows everything.
Google is our friend tonight. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's what I tell everybody. Just Google it, right? Or Bing. Is that the new phrase?
And you get money from
me. Anyway, yeah, so Atom Editor for GitHub is really pretty cool, okay? Because I believe you can open up the code. I haven't used it yet, but I've heard people talking about it. You can open up the code right there in GitHub and start editing your code.
Nice. That's what I tell my students not to do, though.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like editing on a server.
But talking about editors, we have Sublime also. I mean,
Sublime. Let's talk about Sublime because that is a huge tool in the industry.
I see it everywhere.
And I see it. I see it. Like, I mean, it has made its way. You have all those packages and you have all those.
So who's used it out of us? I've not
used that.
I've used it.
Yeah. I have.
So let me ask you a question out of the three of us. Who's paid for it?
I haven't, no.
Who just clicks cancel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I got that in muscle memory now.
I guess the escape key.
Yeah. Do what?
The escape key works now. So.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
But. I would highly recommend paying for it if you use it for professional uses.
Yeah.
That's the way, that's the.
The great thing about Sublime is that you have all these new packages and libraries and that you can just download and snippets. And it's just such a powerful, really powerful, fast tool. And with all these new snippets and packages, so they have another thing, they have a package called Emit, in which there's autocomplete. So you just type HTML and then you hit tab, it just automatically completes for you. So you're writing kind of CSS. But it's decoding your HTML. So if you have a UL element which has six LIs inside, which have ahrefs and text in it, you just write one line of code with Emit, install as a package, and you hit tab and just autocomplete your HTML with it.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, GreenSock just came out with their snippets. So if you are doing GreenSock, you just write tween dot and this automatically completes everything for you, and you hit tab and takes to the next option where you want to edit the numbers, like the time, the delay, the CSS. Mm-hmm. As you're hitting tab, it's taking your cursor to the next one. So there's so many SaaS packages and mixins and libraries just available to Sublime. It's just really powerful now.
Yeah. It is good. It is a good tool. I mean, I used it for a little while. I really tried to get into it. I had some issues with it. I like an IDE, you know, for me personally.
Yeah.
You know, because Sublime really is just an editor. So let's look at it. Let's break it down to the lowest level. So what is a, you know, what is a text editor? So what, that really is Sublime with what Taha actually said was packages, right? Mm. So for those users, for those listeners out there that don't know what we're kind of talking about, what is a package? What does that kind of do?
So all these different things that you see. So let's say a package is a list of everything that you can find and install on Sublime to make it more customized, like make it more IDE-based. So let's say there's a package which actually brings up the color palette in Sublime. So you install this package, it's called Color Picker. And then when you're editing, you just hit Alt-C or Control-C, and it brings up that color wheel within Sublime, and you just pick the color, and it just gives you the number for it, the hex number, and just use that in your code.
Mm-hmm.
So you install these kind of packages and customize the whole text editor as an IDE for yourself.
Okay.
It has those, there are more packages like where you can download them, and it will connect to your FTP web host, and it will do that edit, and it will live refresh and stuff like that.
Now, these packages are just... these are things that people's made, right? I mean, yeah. So other people make them. It's not Sublime. I know Sublime probably has some ones built in, you know, that they release with it. But, you know, I mean, as far as people make these packages, and from when I've tried it, making a package really isn't that hard.
No.
It's pretty much kind of a JSON format, isn't it?
I would believe so.
I think when I did mine, I did a couple templates too with it. Now, okay, so we have that text editor. Right. I mean, and that's kind of what it is. I mean, in the basic forms, we use packages to enhance Sublime into a more of a robust tool.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So which they do have a lot of color themes you can use and everything else like that. But is there some issues that you don't like about it? Because one of mine that I hated about it was I can never go up to file and hit file new. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
I can never hit go to file new project and once create a new project.
You just drag and drop in folder on. I like that more.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, but within Sublime, so let's say you are in a folder, you actually can create files and folders within Sublime.
Though. Yeah, you can. You can create files and you can create a folder. And yes, to create a project, you have to create it outside. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of an extra step of going in and out of your Explorer window or your whatever, your Finder, and then going up and creating that whole structure and then bringing it over into it. When most IDEs, you can go up and hit file, new project, boom, done. Mm-hmm. You never have to leave it.
I'm willing to bet that for a number of different programming languages / environments, however, they make the assumption that you're going to download a package that will run commands on your command line to do all that for you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like Yaman.
Yeah,
like I have NPM install Grunt and all these.
So you just download a package, you run some command in Sublime.
But how new are those packages?
Hmm?
How new are those packages? Because in the last year, you just really started hearing about them. You know, they've really grown. I mean, they've been out there for a while, but as far as the industry that you've really heard about these, a lot of them just started popping up that, you know, like Yaman. I mean, I really just started hearing about that the last 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, I mean,
there's some, like, if I use Sublime for hacks, there's been project generators in that for a long time. So if I wanted to sit down and make a game in HaxFlixel, it's by default, it assumes that you generate your first project with a project generator. It's no different than, say, heading into Flash and creating a new Flash file, right?
Okay. But now so let me just break this down for the users. I'm going to be the guy tonight, just acting like. So what we're talking about is basically the package generator or a project generator. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Make
so
a new project.
Yeah. So we can go into the terminal, which scares the heck out of a lot of people, right? I mean, you still get a lot of people that's never touched the terminal, and that bothers them. So, but what Travis is talking about is in the terminal, you can actually write a command, type a command, and it literally auto-generates an entire project for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So, I mean, when I say an entire project, I mean, this thing will list out, and some of them will actually bring in all the dependent libraries for you and structure all of your project. One thing nice about those is it does a great job of organizing your projects and starting at a professional level of organization. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what we were kind of talking about. So yeah. Let's break it back down to Sublime. So they could be doing that, but still, can you do that within Sublime?
Yes.
Do they have a terminal window?
They do, actually. Okay. I forget what the terminal window is, and it's this weird terminal window that's like a pseudo terminal. It's yeah. part integrated in your file system. It's part not. I'm yeah. never quite sure what's going on with
it. It's really not a true. I had trouble with it. It really didn't do everything I thought a terminal should.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was using it for some stuff, and I couldn't get it to work.
So,
those are my only two. I just had really some troubles getting some of the packages to work, and that's yeah. just me. I mean,
from what you know, I've been sitting here doing some Googling while you guys are talking, and from what I've seen, Sublime does a really good job at text editing and gives you the ability to do plugins. So like you're talking about that file creation, I saw a couple posts on there's great plugins for it, generators and whatnot. Yeah. And then the core of Sublime is all about like regex expressions. If you want to do multi-selects and edits and stuff like yeah. that, it gives you all those built in that you can build off of.
Yeah, it's very so powerful.
I can see you downloading it.
Yeah.
And this is the question this guy was getting. He's like, how do I create a new directory and it's not there?
Yeah.
And getting frustrated with it and ditching it if you didn't yeah. spend some time.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely, you know, you got to work around it. It's yeah. about like anything. It's a tool you got to learn. But here's another key feature. It's fast.
Yes.
It's very small, lightweight, loads up really quick. Like and that's the bad thing about an IDE. Mm-hmm. You know, like Eclipse or something, it's big, bulky, yeah, yeah. takes forever, right? So, man, I mean, those can be a pain in the butt sometimes. But Sublime is definitely good. It's took the industry by storm. And to tag on to that, Adobe Brackets. You brought it up. Very, very similar to Sublime.
Hmm. The nice thing about Adobe Brackets is it is similar to Sublime, but it's targeted towards pure web development, as far right. as I can tell. So it really assumes that you're making almost static web pages, as far as I can tell. Because you can hit that live reload button or that live preview button, and yeah. every single HTML file you load up will load up into its own little instance of Chrome, and every change you make will immediately reflect on the other pages. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Though I don't know if that's going to be tremendously important going into the future, especially now that the new versions of PHP ship with their own micro host, which mm-hmm. is just crazy.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm.
So you don't even have to like run on a full host. You can just head into PHP and say, hey, serve these files up for me while I'm working on them.
That goes in Sublime. So I have this thing running in my Grunt, actually. So I watch it and Eglify. And
yes,
it's
yes.
live reload. Reloads my Chrome
yep.
as ever.
Yep.
When I receive HTML files or JavaScript files or CSS files.
And that's the one thing that's nice about Brackets is it does it from the start. That's the nice thing about all IDEs is they do what they're supposed to do from the start, as opposed to downloading Sublime and then finding all the packages and installing the packages and configuring the packages and making sure they all work the way you want and then realizing this package hasn't been supported for 2 years. It doesn't work with your current build of
yeah.
Sublime.
Yeah.
So that's the trade-off that I ran into with Sublime.
Yeah. So here's another thing that I ran into with Sublime and Adobe Brackets.
What's that? It's too awesome.
Every time they update, it never brought over my preferences.
Mm-hmm.
To the newest version. I literally either had to go find out where the old version was and bring them over, which again is what you just said.
Yeah.
It may not be supported in the new one. And Adobe Brackets was bad about that because I believe it's still in beta.
Release yeah. phase.
So every time they'll be like, oh, here's Sprint 32 or yeah. whatever like that. And you're like, and here's 33. Well, nothing ever transfers over.
They finally fixed that up. And I think Sublime hopefully only is for that. You probably got hit with a major transition from 2 to 3.
Yeah.
I still run 2. I don't know why I haven't switched over to 3 yet. I need to at some point.
Yeah. But. Okay. So, yeah. So those are two basic text, kind of very text editor-ish. Is that a word? Text editor-ish. We're going to make it. You know what? Dev Workshop's going to have its own.
I understand you.
Yeah, yeah. We created our own tech language right here. We're the first to hear about it. Yeah, so, all right, so we talked about two of the big ones. Any other big text-like editors besides, I mean, let's not get into the Notepad and stuff. Let's talk about the web ones. I mean, you know, like Notepad++ has syntax highlighting, I believe. But let's get away from that. That's, you know. Any other bigger ones that you can think of?
Big ones. Big IDEs?
Not IDEs. Like text editor-ish.
Text editor-ish.
Yeah. Text editor-ish.
The thing that inspired Sublime Text, what's that called? over on the Mac.
That was side. The TextMate, wasn't it?
Yes.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Text Wrangler, TextMate.
Mm-hmm. TextMate is Sublime Text is essentially just a clone of TextMate.
Yeah.
Because I guess the TextMate guys decided they weren't going to update for 5 years or something.
Hmm.
But when you load the two up, you're just frightened by how similar they are in so many ways.
Okay. Yeah, I used TextMate for a while. It was very, very nice. Similar. Yeah, it was good. Good. All right. I can't think of any more big ones that are really used in the industry right now. I'm sure there are. Don't call in. You know, I've already got one call. Yeah. Yeah, Vim.
Come on.
Okay. I just threw up my mouth a little bit. But that's me.
A Vim mode.
That's true.
It does. It supports all the Vim key bindings. Yeah. I think that's one of the reasons it's so big, too. Vim guys can just hop into it and immediately start Vimming.
So, Todd, you brought it up. Tell us what Vim is.
Well, I don't really use it.
Yeah, but you know what it is.
Terminal editor. I don't really care for it, man. I can't remember the keys.
So so basically, it's very similar to Emacs and Unix, right?
Yeah.
So you have to actually go in. I forget the command. I think you type in Vim or Vi or something like that, and actually it pulls up. This is in terminal. If you've never used it, and it basically just pulls up, and you're inside of a text editor. I mean, and there you can CD and move into a file and create a file. And then once you get in there, you create this file using Vim. And you basically, it's just like you're in a text editor. And there's shortcut keys. There's keys and everything that, you know, just like any other editor. And it's done right inside of the terminal. Now, I like it because I kind of set my color in it and set my opacity of the background to look kind of freakish, and then I freak people out and think I'm in a sci-fi movie. That's the only reason I
use the threading files on Unix. That's it.
Yeah.
And most try to avoid it.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, when I was in college, I actually had the keystrokes down for a while. It was getting very efficient. Mm-hmm. I actually started liking it. And then I went away for many years. Came back, I couldn't remember him, so I
know. And often, pursued a thing in music, right? Tried to become a musician.
Yeah, my musician years.
But here's the thing, you know, again, Vim, same way with any text editor, very fast, powerful. Not only that, we all agree that the terminal is very powerful, right? And you're right there. So if you think about what you would do for a living. So like at one of our workshops, you know, you had the system admin guy, and that's all he did. He worked in Vim all the time. But he goes, that's all I do. You know, I'm in terminal all the time. So it's just, you know, it's a second nature. So I imagine that, you know, about like everything, what you get used to.
For sure. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on. I can't believe you brought up Vim. Seriously.
Sorry.
Jeez. But it had to be brought up.
A lot of people like it, man.
Yes, you're right. Those are the hardcore guys. Okay. What about...
They don't talk to us.
You're right. Yeah. And okay. So Adobe Brackets, free right now that we know of, should be always free. And awesome. Adobe Brackets was made using HTML and JavaScript and CSS.
Hmm.
The actual whole thing is made with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So you can go in there and tweak all of that yourself if you know how to do it with just those three languages or code.
Yeah, hopefully they're not using PhoneGap to make that.
No, they're actually, that's actually the whole interface. Now, I don't know how they took that and wrapped it to make it a desktop-like application.
Just like Air, man. Flash Air.
Yeah, they've got things out there to let you do that.
Oh, Air would do that. Like, but when you load it, though, it doesn't do an Air type.
No, there's other ones that wrap for you now.
Yeah.
So you can go out there and make desktop applications.
With HTML? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, okay. And then Sublime Text, I think it's up to $75 now. $79?
Something like 100 bucks or something.
Is it 100? I thought it was at 75.
Maybe 700, something like that.
Yeah. So you have one free, Adobe Brackets. You have one paid that you should pay for professionally using, I would say.
$70.
How much?
70.
That's okay. Yep.
You said 50. Should have bought it then.
You should have bought it then.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So you have those two. One free, one's, you know. So if you look at what you're going to spend, you know, check all these tools out. You can check them out, most of them for free. Let's move into the IDE world. Give me an IDE that you guys like.
I used to love Aptana.
Aptana, yeah. First off, what does IDE stand for our users that don't know, or listeners?
Integrated Development Environment.
Integrated Development Environment, yeah. So totally, most of these for are huge packages, right? I mean, not packages, but a product and application. And it, some computers, my old computer literally would take like a minute to load one of these things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they're big. Aptana's big.
Yeah.
You know? So if you're loading it on an old laptop, it may take a minute to load. And it takes a lot of power resources. So memory takes all that to run these. So let's get that straight as far as like text editor with Sublime Text, brackets, doesn't take a lot of memory, doesn't take a whole lot of processing power, very slim, works fast, great. We're moving it to IDE, memory hog, fast. Yeah, I mean, not fast, but, you know, it takes a little bit of time. If you got the memory and you got the computers, you're good to go.
Yeah.
So let's just assume that you do. We're going to work with that, okay? So just letting the user.
Yeah, I remember back in the days when we were doing Flash websites, we had Adobe Flash IDE running, and then we had an Eclipse for the Adobe Flash X script editor, mm-hmm. and then we had Photoshop running just to take our images and everything.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
We had no memory, and it was really slow.
Yeah.
With JavaScript or anything, just Chrome running and IE8 on your VirtualBox and Sublime running, it's pretty fast, though.
Mm-hmm.
I just upgraded this because of Juno and Flash Builder.
Okay, now what's this?
Oh, this. So I got a new MacBook. It's the solid state. And one of the big reasons, every time I would work inside a Flash Builder, it would just die after a while. I had like 2 hour window. Within that 2 hours, if I didn't reboot, I was at risk of losing something.
Wow.
And I thought maybe it was a config issue, but man, I tried a lot of different memory configs and everything with the clips, and ended up when I got this new system with 16 gig, I realized my 8 gig was the limit, and just running the Flash Builder Eclipse, I was right at about 6.5 right there.
Mm-hmm.
I just fired up one editor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so if people that don't know, I mean, you know, a lot of us came from a Flash background, moved over into the new world, right? Or Flex. So Flex was basically using ActionScript, and it also had the Flex SDK, right? So
and
framework.
What I just said was, I don't think it's the Eclipse issue. Because when I was on Flash Builder 4.5 in Eclipse, I didn't have this issue. It's just the recent 4.7 and Juno are not working well together.
Yeah, so Flash Builder is built on top of Eclipse. And Eclipse is an IDE that is pretty, I mean, it's used for a ton of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And not to mention that a lot of IDEs are built on top of it, but a lot of other IDEs have made theirs look very similar to Eclipse. Okay, so I think NetBeans.
Yeah, that used to be my favorite, by the way.
Yeah, but it's very, I mean, when you open it up, it looks very similar to, right, Eclipse.
Yep.
You know, so let's talk about Aptana. Taha brought it up. Aptana is built on top of Eclipse.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. I wonder I don't like it.
Yeah. Nice.
I wonder it takes so long to load.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I didn't like it when I tried it last time.
But now, so let's spend a minute talk about Aptana. It's free.
Yes.
Why?
Guess what Eclipse is.
Is it free?
Free.
Yeah. It's free.
All right, cool.
Okay, that's probably why they took a free tool and built it on top of something free. Not to mention that Eclipse has a huge community base of doing stuff with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, as developers, we should all look at open source and helping, you know, and doing that stuff. And that's kind of where this is coming into as far as like Eclipse goes. So anyway.
Do you do a lot of Android development using Eclipse, I believe, or Java and all these Windows apps?
Actually, Eclipse is by default is a Java.
Is it Java?
Yeah. Is a Java programming.
Yeah, so a lot of people, developers who make Android apps, I'm pretty sure they use Eclipse only.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, very, you know, it's pretty cool that, you know, out of the box, when I first started using it as a free tool, unbelievable the amount of stuff you get with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It had code completion for a lot of different languages, supported a ton of different languages. You know, for me, like I mentioned earlier, I could go up and hit File, New, and it would ask me what type of project I was creating. Do I want a web project? Do I want a PHP project? I was like, shoot, boom.
Jackpot.
Yes. So, you know, and when you created a PHP project, it literally expected that you were going to write PHP code, right? So, I mean, it kind of changed the way it worked. So a lot of that stuff was built in, which I liked. That was me. So Travis, you said you hated it. Why?
It's slow. That was actually, I downloaded, I installed my computer once, and it took like 20 minutes to launch, or, you know, a lifetime.
A lifetime. Yeah, it's still loading downstairs.
I decided I didn't want to. If it took longer than Dreamweaver took to load, it probably wasn't worth my time.
Yeah.
That was my feeling.
Yeah.
So
you gotta get a new hardware, man.
What's that?
Yeah.
At the time I was running on a netbook. Okay. I was a poor graduate student, and that's what I could afford. Now, of course, it would probably load up pretty fast, but. So that was the only reason I didn't really like it. There was some nice things about it. FRCall is one of the first editors that came with a built-in web server, so you didn't have to go through the whole process of installing all this other stuff. And that was what excited me at first.
You see that built-in thing? I didn't really find built-in.
No?
Yeah, I found it more of you had to go configure a lot of things. Hmm. Back in the, you know, so when I said I liked NetBeans, it really had a built-in web server. I mean, it was just there, and it
does it.
Everything deployed, so that's what I liked about it. They didn't have a lot of different options for things.
I see.
Because it's whatever they built for their editor.
Mm, gotcha.
And the good part was that it worked really well. The bad part is you didn't have a lot of options outside of that like you do with Clips. You know, on Clips, you have, you know, like if you want to run SVN, you have two different options. Maven, you have a couple different. You didn't have that with the NetBeans, but.
Yeah, to be honest, I do kind of just like installing my own servers anyway, so.
I think Aptana has its own terminal console, like going in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has its terminal. You mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Aptana. Built-in server. Has a built-in server into
it. Server too.
Yeah. Yeah. Very. I mean, it's very cool. I mean, you know, and so what's some other differences with IDE? So
I think that whole Aptana thing must come down to configuration. Again, that's where I struggle on Eclipse. Like when I started using the Spring framework, some of the things in there, it just, they weren't working for me. And I'd Google and you have to put this plugin. Oh, that version, you have to update this. And I was all the time just adminning my IDE. And
with Aptana?
Like Aptana's come out and they're like, you know what? We've taken the core features. I don't know. I'm just guessing this is why you have two different ones that are on, you know, top of Eclipse and just configured those for you.
Oh, yeah,
so you have
something
out of the box you don't have to jack with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Spring, they came out with their Spring Source tool set, which is built on top of Eclipse, too. And I think that's what it is. It's already configured, ready to go pretty much for their framework.
Yeah. So it's cool. So why an IDE? I mean, so what's the underlying thing with an IDE compared to a text editor? So why even make an IDE? You know, our users. So if, you know, why is it so bulky? I got to ask that question. Do you guys know?
It's a good question.
Actually. I can make something up right now.
Well, yeah, because I think about it, it's like I'm kind of digging the whole Sublime idea where I could just fire up my server in the background, my database, and I don't have to worry about the IDE having to manage that.
I think it's because the IDE has almost a shotgun approach to things where it's... It's like we're assuming that you're going to do a lot of stuff, or you might want to do a smattering of a lot of stuff. So we're just going to include it all there, and we're going to load it up immediately. So once it does load up, you're productive. But so I used IDEs that are – I preferred them. I found them slick. Mono Develop is like this. There's one called for Flash called Flash Develop that I would load up. And I would actually, I loved it. It was lightweight.
Faster,
I still did code completion. I could click the run button in Flash Develop, and it would still, behind the scenes, it would compile my ActionScript things right away. It would hook up to Flash Flash Professional as well. So if I click the run button, it would push over to Flash Professional and build my applications. And it wasn't heavyweight. So it's possible.
I remember, talking about IDEs, one, now that I think about it, one reason I would love to have an IDE was when I was doing version controlling and pulling and pushing a lot of branches, it would just compare side to side. And
it's
I haven't seen that in Sublime actually.
So in Sublime, does it do code completion?
It does do code completion with the HTML and JavaScript and stuff like that.
How about debugging?
Well,
I'll be able to set a breakpoint.
Yeah. I mean, you can only use Chrome Debugger and console, you know, inspector and stuff for that, but I'm not sure.
I bet there's plugins for it.
Maybe.
But yeah, those are my big ones. You know, I want to be able to have code completion. I want to be able to have debugging and SVN integration. Yeah. So this all comes usually within an IDE.
That's why I just grabbed it. Did we ever have like Flash? I mean, yeah, we had Flash debugging and everything, nice tools in the compilers, but web, I don't think so. There's any way where you can debug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And HTML and everything.
Yeah, yeah. You can do that right inside the browser.
Browser now, yeah.
You can do it in browser only, but then ID, like Aptana would just give you warnings and stuff that this is not a semantic HTML completed format, and then you fix that and stuff like that. I'm not sure about JavaScript, if you can do that with JavaScript.
Yep.
Sure there is a warning or debugging thing.
Yep, JS Hint will help you. It'll help you do all that stuff, too.
So is that a package kind of thing? What is JS Hint?
And a lot of it's built in now, so I think JS Hint will give you all the warnings and errors and everything else.
It's kind of like a pre-compile type thing, isn't it? I'm talking like being able to set a breakpoint where you can go in and you can say, hey, if this variable is going to be this or that. Okay. Mm-hmm. I see it inside of
I knew that in web, actually, if they have breakpoints.
So let's move on. Cool. We'll move to another IDE, because what I know, and I don't know if it's in Aptana or not, but PHP Storm, which is by JetBrains.
Yes.
Okay. This is a perfect spot. JetBrains is one of our sponsors. So let's bring them out. They've done a great job of helping us. They give us an IDE to use during our workshop. Yeah. So PHP Storm. So I use PHP Storm. There's WebStorm. They have a lot of different products out there.
Yep.
Okay. But I use PHP Storm, and PHP Storm has WebStorm kind of built into it, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So if you want to do anything else, get PHP Storm, and then that's WebStorm too. But inside of there, you can actually set a breakpoint, run your application, and it will stop at that line just like it does. And then, so even if you're looking at it in a browser, you can hit debug. You have to debug the application. Mm-hmm. So debug, pull up your web page, click through, and when it hits that spot, it'll roll back over to your IDE and then stop right there. And then you can almost step through like what we used to do in Flash Builder and all that. Right. And then just walk through the code, check all the variables. It has a watcher in it and everything. Very, very exact, the same as what we used to.
So does that come with an IDE?
It is built into PHP Storm.
Not sure about Sublime, if you do that, if you can do that, there must be a package or something.
You got to download a package. IDE
or
is already there.
You're just using the browsers.
Yeah, you can use the browser and just go in there, click on source, go down, find it, and put in a debug.
Okay. I bought WebStorm when it wasn't too long ago, and man, I was happy with it. I still am.
Yeah, it still is. I mean, it's good. I just bought the reason why I bought PHP Storm is just because it did PHP, and I was doing some PHP at the time, and it had WebStorm built in. So for $20 more or something, I actually got a few more, another
In retrospect, that's the way I wish I would have went. Yeah.
So PHP Storm is, I think, $129, $25, something like that, $130. Let's just call it $130. WebStorm is a little cheaper. If you're a student, you can get it really cheap. Okay.
That's like $100.
I think that's WebStorm.
Yeah. Maybe I was looking for like the discount days.
Right. But let's go back to the IDE. So what we were talking about earlier is IDEs, the benefits, right? So debugging tools are built in with IDEs, right? And you have a lot of compile and builds are built into IDEs. Now there might be packages that's built into, and now when I say debugging tool or like builds, I'm not just talking about like clicking on it and just showing an HTML page. You know what I mean? There's a lot of languages that need compiling before you do anything, right? So some of that's built into.
So it's also built in, but again, you could customize Sublime to do that.
Yeah.
Sublime customized with several build systems back in the day.
But you have to customize. Some people just like this right out of the box.
Press the button.
Yeah,
for
this
sure.
is my profile. Do it for me.
Yeah, exactly. this is it. And companies, and I would agree with this, like bigger corporate-y companies like an IDE because it does structure. It kind of forces you into that structure, right? And they do have a lot of the built-in automatic, like, the repository type tools, right? So SVN's built into a lot of them already. Git's built into a lot of them already, and it already has the tools right there for you. Now, let me ask you guys this. Compared to an IDE to a text editor. In Sublime, and I don't know this, out of the box, if I create a JavaScript file and put some public variables in it, you know what I mean, or what we consider public variables, can you reference that file inside there? Does Sublime know I created that file? So let's say I created file main, I create another file called app or whatever, and I'm trying to access that main inside of there.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'll when I type in main, yeah, it'll pull up all the
completion. So this is the strongest part of Sublime. When you hit Control Shift P, it's so powerful, Todd, that you will be amazed what it does. So if you're in that folder, it will highlight anything you're searching in all the files within that folder and give you within Sublime that they are there and that they're there. And there's a great Lynda tutorial on Sublime Text too, actually, that teaches you all those nice shortcuts. So if you're looking for Ahrefs class, my box, and you hit Control Shift P and there are three shortcuts. So you hit a number sign, or you have a semicolon, or you hit steric. If you hit the number sign and you said my box, it will go and search for my box inside all those folders, all the HTML files, all the JavaScript files, and just pull it and just show you. It doesn't even open. It just shows you right there that they exist in these files, and they exist in that spot, and you can just open them recently directly from there.
Yeah.
You can change them directly from there and just be in whatever file you were working on previously.
Okay.
So it does that auto, you know, finding and replacing and everything really fast for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, but is that a package?
No, it's not a package.
It's built in.
It's built in, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you have to put in like a secret code.
So everything...
honestly, right? You it's have to put in code. Something that doesn't...
It's just a lot of features that a lot of people are not aware of.
Yeah, but... Okay, so...
And then we...
What was that?
I guess I just shouted and just went up all the way.
Quit shouting into the microphone, Tom.
Yeti.
Yeah. Hey, so...
secret features.
So, well, you have to put in a secret code. So, like...
Sublime style.
Now, listen to this.
I don't.
So, what you just told me is that in order for me to get this to pull up, to search for stuff, I actually have to type in... hit a special set of keys to get this to pop up and search.
It's not a special set of keys. It's the only way you can install packages. It's the only way you can browse through things. The only way that you can do a lot of things through. It's like a semi terminal thing. And I'm trying to figure this out on Windows. So there you go. So if you hit Control Shift P, this is what it does. So it just shows everything that you can do. So I say install.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's like that's the package manager window.
Yeah, yeah. This is everything. So you say install package, and you can just go install package. Yeah, and then it will just pop up anything.
But you know what I like doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have to go in there and type a special key. I just want to go like this. Main dot. There it is.
So what you're saying is that you wanted to be able to know the other files and what
right off
what
to, its right properties off to get and
methods. It's I don't know if Sublime can do or
that's
not.
What an IDE
so
has that's very powerful, too.
I was PHP Storm tonight, and I was using the Angular Resource Provider. Yeah. And I couldn't remember the methods, when, otherwise, and all that. It had just been so long since I used it. And it was nice. I hit the dot, and boom, it was right there.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet that there is something like that.
Now, there's packages for languages in Sublime that'll pull up hints, you know, like ng-repeat and all that kind of stuff.
But it doesn't know about the other stuff.
But it doesn't know.
It's not doing backwards. It's not compiling behind the scenes.
Exactly.
About the entire environment.
So it's giving you more than what's in that file. It's giving you any match across that.
It knows the whole project.
It knows the whole project. So that's one thing about an IDE that's not with a text editor. Hmm. You know, and like you said, now you can search for it. That was my whole point.
I'm pretty sure it was a package that I installed something, but when you hit Control Shift P and you have that running, you hit ampersand sign and strike and everything, it does a lot of stuff that I just started using it. And Lynda has Lynda.com has a very nice course on Sublime Text too. It just shows you all those necessary packages that you want, you install them, and you're good to go from there.
See, this is where, as a developer for me, that I would argue with somebody. I know I've been trying to be switched over to Sublime for a long time. I really have.
Tried it.
But I like pull up a guy and I go, hey, pull up your Sublime. I'm going to pull up my PHP Storm. Let's go. Let's program the same thing. Let's see what we got. Let's just see how many shortcut keys I have to hit compared to what you have to hit. Let's do this real quick. You know, and we literally did this in class. And, mine was done. And I didn't hardly have to hit near as many shortcuts.
Do you have it configured with any templates or anything?
Nope.
And you're just out of the box?
We're just out of the box, just sitting there doing it. And he's like, well, hold on, I got a package for that. You know, and you got to just do what Taha said. Let me hit Shift Option B, and then I'll pull it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, I don't want all that. I just want my project to know about it right out of the box because of time management. Right? I mean, you guys have worked a lot. I know I'm speaking the most, and people out there are probably going, man, he's probably bullshit. But time is money. right? And if you own a business or you're doing freelance, and that's what you got to worry about. I never could keep up with all the damn shortcut keys.
True.
And I just like my project knowing about everything.
I do like autocomplete. That was one thing I liked about brackets.
Yeah.
So I mean, autocomplete JavaScript objects for me.
Yeah. Hey, I created a new file called main. Here's all my public variables. Guess what? It knows about it. I don't have to search for it or do anything. Yeah. So when you use the special, like you said, you had to enter the pound sign or the hash symbol. When you do that, does it take it away and replace it with what you've put there?
I've not used that a lot, but what you do is it just searches for you.
Okay.
And then it does a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Sublime is so powerful with that Control Shift P and that console that comes out. You can just do so much things there.
Yeah. I agree. It's very powerful. I mean, I like Sublime. I use it to edit all my text files, actually.
Yeah.
But that's what I use it for.
It is good.
For development.
Yeah, IDE is like a more comfortable thing in which... So, because you come from a Flash background, I'm pretty sure we love like an IDE.
Yeah.
And it makes things faster, yes. Which is the reason Xcode is an IDE. It has all those...
I was getting ready to ask you about that.
Yeah.
I'm like, would you do any iOS without Xcode?
Right, I would not. So
I want to challenge you to use JetBrains' new app. What is it? It's called App Code or something. They just came out with one. It's for Xcode.
C++, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's for Objective-C.
Objective-C, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And you can write straight out of the box, and it's going to do just as good as Xcode, is what they're saying. You ought to try it out and see if you like it.
Mm, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, so the same goes back. I mean, I really like IDE. I would prefer an IDE if it's faster.
Mm-hmm.
It does everything in one IDE, and I don't have to watch a lot of things that are going around. So with Xcode, it's not that heavy. Xcode is really light.
Mm-hmm.
It just boots up so fast. It's there. It has everything in it.
But
you're a hipster, though.
Like, you know, so one of the things I like about the editors I use, I like to be able to see all of my file real quick. Like, for instance, in Eclipse, Command-Shift-O, I get all of my methods right off the bat.
Yeah.
I have a hard time doing that next.
Do that in Xcode.
I feel like it's just maybe I'm just not seeing the shortcuts.
You can see all the functions. So if you go on the top, it just shows. So
it's on the drop downs on the top.
Yeah. So when you're in the editor and you put ampersand and you say pragma mark and you put your function name, it just shows all those things in the top drop down. So when you click, it just shows all your functions, all important things that you have to go from jump from this point to this point. Just shows you there.
Yeah.
So.
I did not know that. I like Xcode. I've been really pleased with it. There's just a few things, I guess, coming from my Eclipse and everything and NetBeans and all that, that I'm like, I try to do the shortcuts and they don't jive. But a lot of the others do. Hmm. Like in, we're talking about PHP Storm, I can just switch it right over to the Eclipse key, you know, command keys, and I'm good to go. There's just a few little differences.
Yeah. With Xcode, there's a little learning curve.
They do
things a little differently with how everyone else does with Eclipse. They have their own thing going along. But
works well, though.
Yeah, it works well. It has nice debugging, too. I mean, it's a complete professional software builder. I mean, you can make Mac apps and iOS apps and all those things from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it was named App Code, what I was talking about earlier. So try it out. And it's an Objective-C.
Oh, it's done right.
It's done right, yeah. Done
Objective-C.
Yeah. And outstanding apps with ease. Not only with ease, but with pleasure. Come on, that right there.
With pleasure, man.
Yeah, with pleasure.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely Xcode needs a lot of auto-completion and stuff like that. But there are other things out there that you can install on Xcode, in Xcode, and then it makes you perform faster. So it does a lot of text completion and everything. So I went to this CocoaConf, and then cannot remember the thing. There was a sponsor there, and who was asking us to install this thing in their Xcode. It would just give us autocomplete. It would make us much more faster as a programmer and stuff like that. But
it's probably called App Code.
It probably is. Are you sure?
The guy was really pushy there
about
installing that.
Buy this, would you?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. So it definitely, I mean, a lot of this, hopefully this was good knowledge for a lot of you. If you haven't used it, try all these tools before, because I would tell you, I mean,
What works for you.
Yeah, that's what the key
is. Don't worry about what everybody else is using.
It's yeah. Having programmers are like Democrats and Republicans. Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh. You hate something or love it, and they will live. I still say Ruby developers are the most passionate people about their language than anybody else I've ever seen.
I would say that.
I would die for Ruby. You know what I mean? It's like, my gosh.
They would force Sass into using as just like Ruby. So they would have spaces and stuff like that instead of curly brackets.
We're seeing a lot of Ruby influence in JavaScript.
Right now. And a lot of, exactly. And a lot of the other stuff that's going on.
Yep. Packaging tools and all that. So I think it's a good thing, but.
It is. It's definitely, it's definitely good. I mean, all this is, somebody can be like, well, hey, it came from this language a long time ago. Pascal was here, So I'm sure everything builds on top of everything, right? But, so definitely try out all these tools first before you ever do anything else. And because PHP is making a big, we just talked about this. PHP is even going to put, would you say a little editor inside there?
No, web server.
The web server. Yeah. So PHP is coming out with their own server built into it. That's awesome.
Were you not at our training? We just had an all-day workshop, and we
they
were
mentioned talking. That.
Oh, I know. I was trying to be dumb. I'm trying to be the guy that didn't know anything. PHP. The community's kind of picked back up with doing things with PHP. I feel like, especially with Laravel and everything else, as far as a good framework that does a lot of things for you, from what it used to be till now, I think. It's going to be a better language, something you can look at a little bit better too.
Cool.
Yeah. So.
Well, we can talk all day about IDs and taxation and stuff. It's just people just love when they find something that works for them and they want to stick with it. Just like V for Flash, we were loving it and it was doing everything for us faster. It had a nice UI. You could do animations, then you can program animations at the same time, and you need those two things to work seamlessly together. So you have the whole timeline, and you can make your own custom animations, and that is where your designer part of the brain kicks in. And then you can also still animate on top of on the same object that are on the timeline. A lot of these tools that you see a lot of interactivity on the apps or web, they're just missing that timeline thing, the tweening and the motion and drawing and just be able to draw and animate things. That just these things add a lot of details and takes a lot longer if you just want to program and make it from coding. We're missing those things there.
Yeah, I agree.
And as you see now, Flash was gone for a while from the web and people are using all those scrolling websites and all these masking up and masking things down, but now we see a different trend on the internet. I see all these websites from the FWA award, the FWA.com, and all these great websites are just looking like Flash websites. The way what Flash used to do, how responsive and fluid the whole layout was, how creative these menus were. Why is that?
Because all these old Flash developers have finally caught up with the JavaScript code and learned how to do it, right?
Yeah, no, it's that too, but also a lot of browsers are faster enough to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So Chrome and Safari.
Okay, honest opinion here. Now, I know you do a lot of Objective-C and iOS development, but let's go into web development just strictly for browsers. You have to admit, you have to miss Flash as far as positioning.
Yes.
To say X is zero and scaling. Y is this and scaling. It happened. It was there. You never doubted it was ever going to be there. Now, it's
rotations
like,
too.
Oh, right. Yeah. So the other day I'm making an app in the Silk browser, totally different, than the same code. It wasn't like I was doing anything crazy. Same exact code was totally different in a Silk browser as it was in a normal any other browser.
Yeah, which is where all this absolute positioning and relative position comes in.
But this was absolute position.
Yeah, so you still have to code in order to place at the right point and scale it. We don't have the timeline that Flash had. Adobe Edge is there, but it's not integrated into as a coder. It just pushes you out the JavaScript for it. It has a nice timeline, but we are missing an IDE. Which would have all this JavaScript, make these nice flash looking websites, but also have a nice timeline where you can just jump on, drop an image, scale it, and put it on a canvas and just, you know, use that inside of your code and try to access all those elements from your JavaScript. So let's say you used to type ActionScript and then used to access this movie clip, and you're gonna rotate
and
stuff and go and play and all that. We are missing that. So if you put an image in the canvas or stage, your JavaScript, the only way you can JavaScript access is because of your DOM, and DOM you have to put a class and then you access it and stuff like that, various techniques. But there's just that thing that there's a UI that is missing.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of agree. I agree with you.
Yeah. But again, I mean, you see all those nice websites out there, and they're like so fluid, responsive.
Yeah.
They have nice tricky menu opening and closing and sections in and out. So it's good to see all those nice animations that we were just missing from the web.
Yeah.
And it's coming back.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Just a quick note. Thanks, guys, for talking about the editors. But who's getting the S5? Is anybody getting the Galaxy S5? It's like pre-order.
Man, I just got an S4.
Really?
This is bull crap.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of people know. A friend of mine has S4, and he was like, oh, well, the great thing about it is the screen and the battery, and I have like 128 GB of memory card in it, and he can drop it in water, and then it just works.
So yeah.
Like, well, I don't know about that, but iOS, there are a lot of crazy fans out there who will just buy anything that Apple does. So
you
I'm still sticking with iOS.
Yeah, I know you are.
I'm going back to iOS.
Are you?
I didn't dig the S3.
Well, yeah, I think of that. I had an S3 and I didn't like it at all. But the S4, so I like
it. It is great. Yeah, so nice. A friend of mine has S4. Yeah, yeah. So that is what
they
I
made
was
a good jump
me.
To an S4 and the S5. I guess. There were some features they left off, but I think it's really good. I mean, I heard that it's really good. I haven't heard nothing bad about it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to jump on the pre-orders because I'm due for my upgrade.
Okay, now I can't make up my mind.
Yeah, you better go check it out.
The great thing is that iPhone 6 might be coming out. That's always the news there. And I don't know what the rumors are.
You guys are like a cult. The Apple cult. You know what? A guy will come out with a, I just bought the iPhone 5. iPhone 6 came out a week later. I'm going to pay the $1,200 to go ahead and buy it.
See?
That's the way
fans
Apple.
Fans are crazy.
Yeah.
We've got some Kool-Aid over here.
Yeah, I'm not going to drink it. I don't have $1,200 to blow like that. I got a four-year-old, right?
Yeah, that's the advantage, man. Apple has
what? Of all the money you guys have to spend?
Such a great fan following. People love their products. And
that's it. Yeah. That's the only reason apps are in the app stores. Because
you
buy it.
Since I've been messing around with iOS apps, I have been digging their API. I mean, it reminds me back when we were in the Flex stuff.
Well, almost. You have to learn the syntax.
Yeah, you have a syntax barrier for sure. But once you get that down, you're back.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
There's a lot of nice features, man.
Yeah. The great thing is that all these apps that you see on iPhones and iPad, it's because of the API. It's because of the hardware making it possible. Or you would have never seen these interactive, highly powerful apps on the market in the cell phone. See, it's a very small device, and be able to run so much animations and interactivity seamlessly, working so fast. It was not there before.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, but that
because I would argue with you that I think Android is that powerful, but I think each manufacturer junks it up.
Yeah,
by like Motorola takes it and tries to turn it into theirs, and then forces things on into that OS that jacks up the whole phone.
Sure.
I think if you just left it a pure Android, I think it would. So, I mean, it's kind of unfair. You're not really comparing. I always hated this. You're not really comparing an Apple to an Apple.
No, you're not.
Because if you had a pure Android device that they knew exactly the hardware, knew exactly everything, which iOS by default
is
a closed box, right? Yeah. I mean, iOS and they know their stuff. Nothing changes. Android, the manufacturer
changes.
That's
the direction of what the company wants. Apple wants it like that.
Oh, I agree.
Android
I'm not saying that,
wants
but,
it like
but
that.
You can't compare this to this because they're not exactly
example.
The same.
The S3, there's some things I didn't like about it. And a lot of it is software related.
Yeah.
And so the default text app that came on it, you know, I get a picture. I couldn't just click on it and zoom it like I could in my iPhone.
Yeah.
So that kind of pissed me off. So I'm in, you know, him hauling around about trading it in. And the laser's like, oh, well, all you need to do is download this other app. I'm like, no, I don't have the time.
Now, why would you get
15?
Todd, I got a question about this. One. Why would you get upset about that?
Well, that was just one usability feature.
No, I know, but
I had to do, okay, so if I wanted to do anything with it, I had to save that app or that picture onto my phone, and my goodness, where it saves, that's another problem.
Yeah.
Okay, so, cool. But you were, I'm trying to make a point about
software.
So what happened was, not too long ago, I got an update.
And it fixed it.
Oh, my God. The phone, I'm telling you I want to go back to the iPhone, but I started liking my phone a little bit because it started working better. It was more fluid. Yeah. It had a lot less touches to get stuff done. And, so, I mean, it's all about the manufacturing and the software.
Oh, it is. It is. I was just going to make fun of, like, you had to download another package. I was like, Ta and Sublime's been doing it the whole time. I got to download a package to make this work.
Yeah, sorry for interrupting you, man.
No, that's okay.
That would have been real good.
You know, but anyway, so we appreciate everything, you guys coming out tonight, spend some time. I mean, that's your job. Just come out here and talk.
Yeah.
They're all looking at me like, I'm in here. Huh?
I'm getting paid?
Yeah, as soon as you leave here, I'm going to just wait on me outside the door, and I'll be out there as soon as you can.
I'm double parked out front.
I know you are. Turn the flashes on.
All right. Job. Wait. What? So we're paid to do.
What's that? Talk?
Talk.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
part of it, at least.
Yeah, somehow.
Hey,
anyway.
We're getting gypped.
Yeah. Should become teachers.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I hope you users got some good information tonight, our listeners. Anyway. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
So long.
Sounds good to me, yeah. Have a good night.